If you happen to see the very entertaining movie this season from Marvel Studios, Doctor Strange, then you know the entire universe is held together through special supernatural powers and an ancient archive of history in the headquarters of the Sorcerer Supreme, called simply the Library. The Librarian is a cheerless, no-nonsense fellow named Wong, the Sorceress. Well, don't mess with her.
What did you just do to me?
I pushed your astral form out of your physical form.
What's in that tea? Psilocybin? LSD?
It's just tea. With a little honey.
In the headquarters of the United States of America, on the other hand, the Library of Congress is that very same archive of history and the power of history. And while she has no superpowers, I like to think of Carla Hayden, the new Librarian of Congress, as part no-nonsense librarian and part sorceress. She is actually the first real librarian to hold the post, the first woman, and the first African-American. She says that there's nothing strange about this moment in American history, regardless of the politics. Carla Hayden says there's never been a time when holding on tight to history and telling the story of America has been more important.
It's exciting in terms of the possibilities of using and harnessing technology at a time when technology has had such an impact on libraries in particular. When you think about the information age and communication and scholarship, reading, publishing, all of those things come together around the library environment. And so the Library of Congress can really be, I think, a leader in helping think about how all kinds of libraries will progress. And I think we will progress and not fade away.
Are you a custodian of American literacy in any sense?
The Library of Congress, and this is what's so exciting for me, it's the custodian and also, I think, a promoter of human creativity, especially in the United States. It was developed to help Congress make its decisions and then progressed even more as a national library because of the copyright process. And that became the basis of building a national collection that is unparalleled.
How important is outreach to keep everybody understanding that there is this national mission to maintain a collection there in Washington that's accessible to people all over the country and the world?
That's one of my main priorities, because there are so many people that don't realize that this is their library too. This is America's library. And so the outreach is going to be a major focus of my term, and I have a tenure, an appointment. We're going to start with traveling exhibits, for instance. An 18-wheeler might pull up in your community that will have exhibits from the Library of Congress. We are expanding our digital reach. There's a new look on the homepage of the Library of Congress that's more interactive, and that really draws you into the collections, as well as using social media and then digitizing as many collections as we can so that the collections will be at your fingertips.
How important is architecture? There are many cities in the United States that have used a progressive library, Seattle Library is an example, to transform the sense of the public forum, the public space.
I knew you were going to say Seattle, where that's a place with librarian envy. We all love that. Librarian envy. And for instance, the New York Public Libraries, it's really like a castle or a palace. The innovative things that are going on in terms of making those iconic spaces more usable, friendly, softer, but also maintaining that majesty as well. And so you're in a place, you're having coffee, you're on your laptop, but you can look around and look at the Rose Reading Room. And that's like a temple to knowledge and wisdom and everything.
You interested in getting into retail at all?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And the Library of Congress, for instance, has a store, and we are looking at museum stores that have been very successful. MoMA, for instance, has a wonderful new design store, and other places that have taken their materials and put them into formats that people would want to wear or buy or carry bags.
Here's a serious question. In this time of America's, I think, courageous in some cases, reexamination of its history, Do you have a special place of responsibility being the curator of really that history?
Libraries all over the country are finding people wanting to read more about it, finding out about characters like Benedict Arnold, all of these iconic figures, but people who also witness history that you might not know about. And so making history come alive for people and sharing that so that they get a sense that the time that they're living in is part of a continuum and that we're on a journey. And we may think that things are so unique now and they've never happened before. And especially for younger people, it's good for them to, I think, have a sense of place, but also placement on the arc of history and think about making their own history.
That's a great job.
It's a great job. And to think that I get to open up this treasure chest and work with people who are devoted curators and librarians, the depth of knowledge that the staff members have at the Library of Congress, you can ask any question and they can give you not only the answer to your question, but follow up things.
I wonder if this is a moment with the opening of the African-American Museum in Washington and with the popularity of the Native American Museum in Washington, D.C., to really take another look at the history of Native people in the U.S. With the pipeline controversy that's going on right now, and to really bring that forward, not as a angry revisionist idea, but as a, look, we need to all be on the same page about what happened in America's early history.
And history gives you perspective. It can. And we like to say in the library world, read more about it. One question leads to another. And that intellectual curiosity, well, why is this such a issue? And what brought people to this point? Hopefully will give some deeper understanding to the emotions and what you're seeing right there in front of you. But this, a lot of this emotion might come from a long history, or it's part of a journey as well.
First book you ever borrowed from a public library?
Well, the one that I got my first taste of finds was PS 96. That's where I went to grammar school, and there was a Queens storefront branch, and the first book was Bright April, and I checked it out and checked it out, learned about library finds, but I still love it to this day. It was about a little girl who I thought looked like me. She was African American, a brownie, pigtails. And I still love that book. I have copies of that book.
Well, it's so great to talk to you.
Oh, I mean, thank you.
So nice to hear someone at such a high level in government who is free of all of the madness that's been going on this year in partisan terms and political terms, and really is doing a job that is so meaningful right now.
Well, thank you. Hope to come back.
Dr. Carla Hayden is the 14th Library of Congress, having assumed the position in September of 2016.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.